your host, Jason Zamorano, bringing you episode number 10 with my lovely co-host, as always, Mrs. Lauren Z.
Hey, everyone. Glad to be here today. And I'm already peeking at your sheet here, Jason. Looks like you got some juicy stuff going on.
Oh, I can't wait. This is some blood dripping information that we call sex, murder, cocaine, and the Clinton Foundation.
How on earth do those four things go together?
It's like milk and cookies, baby.
Milk and cookies, sex, murder, cocaine, and the Clinton Foundation.
It's like milk and cookies, baby. Okay, Lauren, so today it all started in a little town in Mena, Arkansas. Of course, Arkansas, we know that Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas, and he had a best friend named Dan Lassiter. Dan Lassiter was an interesting character. He was actually the owner of a company called Rich Mountain Aviation. Dan Lassiter was also convicted, along with Bill's brother Roger, of distributing cocaine to underage children and employees at his parties.
Wow.
Underage children just giving him okay. Hey, that's fine. That's the president's best friend. No problem, right? Let's get into this video here. Let's get into this first clip. This is a clip of Roger Clinton, again, Bill Clinton's brother, talking about actually using cocaine and talking about how he's sold cocaine. And he's also talking about being racist. So listen in, folks.
Roger, seen here, snorting cocaine in a state police surveillance video, was arrested and sentenced to prison as part of a narcotics trafficking scheme. It was Lassiter who paid off Roger Clinton's drug debts.
Beggars can't be choosers. Kind of like fucking old Sam.
And I'm out of the deal.
Yeah, this is just like Sam, except this is some good stuff, see? Sam doesn't have any good stuff.
Well, that last shit that we took out,
what do you have?
I think that was fucking pretty good.
Well, now that was mine. That wasn't Sam's.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. But see, that wasn't as good as I get.
Is that right?
It wasn't near. No, no. That's just what I had left.
I mean, you want a beer?
No, I don't care.
What kind?
Yeah, I'll take a line.
Gee, I don't care what it is. I'll take a line.
Well, what did he do with the kid? You know what I sold him? I'll be honest with you. You know what I sold him?
Talking about selling a quarter ounce for $6.50.
$6.50. To a kid in junior high.
Yeah, some nigger. Some junior high nigger kicked Steve's ass while he was trying to help his brothers out.
Was he junior high?
Junior high or sophomore in high school or something. Whatever it was. Steve had the nigger down. However old he was, it's Steve's fault. He had the nigger down. He let him up.
Nigger
blindside. I took 3/4 of an ounce up there.
Just wasn't enough. 3/4 of an ounce. Hey, when you're with the Clintons, that's nothing.
Fuck, it went in one day, and then I didn't have anything left.
Guy knows his coat. It's a good half gram right there.
Yeah, this is definitely a good.
Then Roger Clinton actually picks up the phone. It looks as if he's going to make another call to get some more coke. And then he later discusses on how he knows that people are actually investigating him, investigating the Clintons. But not to worry, because they've got men in uniform that are there to protect him. Who are they talking about? Are they talking about the Secret Service? They're talking about the state police. They're talking about all these people are connected to the Clintons. And that's why they get away with these crimes again and again.
Drug dealing 101. If you're a good drug dealer, you know you've got men in uniform in your back pocket, and you do what it takes to get that protection. It's not just in the movies. It's in real life.
Right, right. Going back to Dan Lassiter, because Roger Clinton actually worked for Dan Lassiter, who, again, Dan Lassiter was one of Bill Clinton's best friends. He was indicted. He was convicted. But here we have some footage of actually the Watergate congressional footage, which he is appalled that they would even consider him to be some type of drug dealer. Listen in.
In the past 10 years, I have often been the subject of inaccurate, misleading news articles. Outrageous and totally false stories about me have appeared in both the local and national newspapers and magazines. A good example of that was in this morning's Wall Street Journal, where I was called a convicted drug dealer by Mr. Simpson. And I challenged Mr. Simpson and Wall Street Journal at this time to prove any evidence that they have on that, because that's not been the case. Political opponents of Governor and now President Clinton have sought to use this false information for political advantage. In the process, my reputation has been smeared, my business interests have been damaged. It has never been alleged that I committed any fraudulent act or lied in the course of any investigation.
Did I understand you to deny a moment ago that you were convicted for conspiracy to distribute narcotics?
No. I said I was not a convicted drug dealer.
Well,
I was convicted of social distribution of cocaine.
Mr. Lassiter, there is no crime of social distribution of cocaine. You were convicted of conspiracy to possess and distribute cocaine, a federal felony. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. But I did not sell drugs.
Mr. Lassiter, you were indicted for conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute cocaine. Is that correct?
That is correct. But
I don't sell the drugs.
That was on a social basis.
We'll get to that in a second. But first, let's be 100% clear about the crime you pled guilty to, okay? And when you pled guilty, you got up in front of a federal judge?
Yes, sir.
You raised your hand?
Yes, sir.
And swore an oath?
Yes, sir.
And you admitted your guilt to the crime to which you were charged, correct?
Correct.
And the crime is possession with intent to distribute cocaine, right?
That's correct.
And there is no separate crime for social distribution of cocaine, is there?
I don't know if it's a second, if it's a separate crime or not, but I think there's a separate moral issue.
So this is the type of people that Bill Clinton is hanging around with. Matter of fact, all the time. This is his best friend at one time, right? Until all this went down, and then all of a sudden he just cuts ends with him.
Right, exactly. And the guy here is talking about how he didn't actually sell the drugs. He gave the drugs away for free. But a good, I guess, kingpin drug dealer knows you give away the drugs for free, you get people hooked, and then you have your lower level goons go and collect the money. So he was charged with doing that stuff.
Yeah, and in his mind, there was nothing wrong with doing that. That's the type of psychosis that we're dealing with. That's the type of crap that rises to the top in these political heads. I mean, these people are just totally psychotic.
Most drug addicts truly, with all their heart, truly believe that them doing drugs is harmless. And sharing their beloved drugs is harmless. But it's just because they're a little kooky in the head.
So this next footage we're going to play, this next clip, actually discusses Bill Clinton's cocaine addiction. He was actually submitted to the hospital several times for overdose. Listen in.
Yeah, Bill Clinton was hooked on cocaine.
I lived in Little Rock, Arkansas, okay? And I worked at a club called Le Bistro's. And I met Roger Clinton there. Governor Bill Clinton, so a couple of the state troopers that went with him wherever he went, Roger Clinton had came up to me and he had asked me, could I get him some coke, you know, and ask for my one hitter, which a one hitter is a very small silver device, okay, that you stick up into your nose and you just squeeze it and it a snort of cocaine and go up in there. And
that's convenient.
I watched.
I'm sure Bill just carries that everywhere he
Roger
goes.
Roger hand what I had given him to Governor Clinton, and he just kind of turned around and walked off. And that's one specific.
Dr. Suen, S-U-E-N, a doctor at the medical center here in Little Rock, is taking care of Bill Clinton for his sinus problems, which may indeed be drug-related to cocaine use as they destroy the sinus passages.
So the cocaine use was destroying his sinus passages, and that's why he was omitted to the hospital, according to this doctor, which was the former physician of Hillary Rodham Clinton. And we're not saying this because we're perfect. Hey, we've all been young. But this is a guy who's obviously addicted to cocaine, who's the president of the United States, guys. He's the one who's actually approving policy. I mean, these are the leaders of our country, and he's addicted to cocaine. Do you not see a problem with that?
Exactly. And this was airing while he was the president of the United States. So now we're past the fact that he's governor. Now he's elected as the president of the United States, and he was doing coke so much his inner nostrils were damaged and he needed to have like sinus issues with the I know people who used to do cocaine and they had to do a lot to finally break down that stuff. That is insane.
Not to mention that the doctor goes on in the clip to talk about how he was actually admitted to the hospital a few times because of a cocaine overdose.
Governor Bill Clinton was taken into the hospital, I believe it was the medical center, on at least one or two occasions for cocaine abuse and overdosage, in which he actually had to be cared for at the hospital.
It led to toga parties. And if you're not sure on what a toga party is, I've had to clarify this
Come
in the
on.
Past.
Come on, you don't need to clarify.
A toga party is where you wrap yourself in a sheet most of the time. The people at the toga parties were Governor Clinton, now President Clinton, Attorney General Steve Clark. Okay, he was there a few times. Members of the Arkansas State Police, you know, along with Roger and, you know,
of course,
other people.
Roger.
They began to dance around, do the cocaine in one room, have sex in another room, because in the Coachman's Inn, the rooms were adjoining, you know. And to be quite truthful, you end up with somebody in particular, and you 9 times out of 10 end up having sex.
Nine times out of 10, you were having sex. So it reminds me like our last episode, like the Feast of Saturnalia, where these people were literally having these drunk orgies in the togas and they were worshiping their god Baal.
Yeah, if you guys haven't watched our last episode, The Shocking History of Christmas, check it out. It's really quite interesting.
It's amazing that they're actually wearing togas as well, just like the Romans did. I mean, the cream really rises, the crap really rises to the top. I mean, we're talking about government officials. We're talking about state police that were involved in all of this.
Babe, you're not a big socialite, but toga parties have, I mean, they start introducing toga parties in junior high. I remember in junior high, the school dance was a toga party dance. So you wear your little toga sheet and you go to the dance. That's junior high. It gets crazier and crazier. Then you have the toga party in high school. Then you have the toga parties in colleges. Now you have government officials, the governor of Arkansas, Bill Clinton, state police, going to the hotels, doing coke, dressing up in togas, and having orgies. So it's, yeah, that's gets kind of crazy. Yeah, but that
these are our elected officials that are making decisions on our behalf. You got to go figure. That brings us to Russell Welch, who was an Arkansas state police officer, and Bill Duncan, who was a former IRS investigator. Both of these individuals actually started an investigation into the MENA airport drug smuggling and money laundering operations that were going on, and that were also connected to not only Dan Lassiter, but another individual named Barry Seal. Barry Seal was an interesting character indeed. He was actually the one flying from MENA, Arkansas to Colombia to drop off guns in return for kilos of cocaine, which then obviously would be distributed to the Clintons and, of course, our children.
Wow. And you were also saying that they ended up creating a movie about that.
Yeah, they actually created a movie about Barry Seal's life. We'll take a look at the trailer. But before that, we have L.D. Brown, who's gone on record, who was an Arkansas state police officer, and he was actually part of Clinton's personal security staff. He went with Clinton everywhere, and he actually testified that he flew with Barry Seal at the request of Bill Clinton to Colombia to drop off the guns and pick up the kilos of cocaine. So according to L.D. Brown, he was told by Clinton to go fly with Barry Seal to pick the drugs up.
Wow.
Pretty crazy. And again, this is funny how Hollywood throws this in your face. They actually made a movie about Barry Seal's life in connections with the CIA, the DEA. All of these people are involved. They're actually bringing in the drugs. They're the ones supposed to be responsible for stopping it, but they're actually bringing it in and then distributing it to our children.
This is the United States Drug Enforcement Agency. We are ordering you to land.
All right, boys. Let's land.
What is he?
My name's Barry Seal.
Oh. That's for the damage. For your sister, hey, little darling, and your bike.
Some of this shit really happened.
You never saw me.
Based on an unbelievable true story.
Of course, it's all just a joke, right? It's just a joke thrown in your face. So amazing. So amazing. But yet, none of this is getting talked about. Nobody's aware of it. Like, how are these people still in power?
That movie just came out last year, 2017.
Wow.
That's interesting because this whole like hashtag Hillary for prison things has been going on since what, 2016, and they're really pushing for Hillary Clinton to be the president in 2020, which is quite scary because as we go through the history of the Clintons and their crimes, this is all known fact. I mean, this is going back and people are going to jail. They're doing prison sentences. They're doing court cases. It's a known fact, but yet they're still eligible to come back and run the country again.
Yeah. It's mind-blowing, I tell you. And not to mention, Bill actually stated that he made $25,000 available for MENA airport investigation, but he actually lied. The reality is that he actually gave $664 million of state bonds to Lassiter's company to actually bring in the cocaine. And then later when he was asked, oh, why didn't you do anything about it? He kind of said, oh, it's a federal issue. I can't get caught up in a federal issue. Come on now. But then he later stated that he made $25,000 available for that investigation, which turned out to be a big fat lie.
So what's going on with that? You're saying Bill Clinton's best friend, the Lassiter guy, he has his own aviation company. So he's flying in planes. They're smuggling drugs in. Bill Clinton gave him $664 million of taxpayer money as a bond to his company.
Right. Yeah, he gave him $664 million of a state bond to actually go to this private company who was Dan Lassiter's company, which is Rich Mountain Aviation.
Bill Clinton's best friend. And then later on, he gets in trouble and he has to do a prison sentence. And then that's when he starts crying that Bill Clinton is defecating his character and it's all lies and it's not true.
Yeah, and it was estimated that $100 million a month was being made off the cocaine that was coming in. I mean, these people were sending in kilos and kilos of coke. Dan Lassiter actually got convicted. Like we talked about, he served 6 to 8 months in prison, which was only a quarter of his prison sentence because Bill Clinton pardoned him and got him out early. Wasn't that nice?
It's so unfair that people, like say parents in Las Vegas, Nevada right now, they're having their children ripped away from them just because CPS suspects that the parents might possibly be consuming medical marijuana. But yet these people are funneling millions and millions of dollars a month on bringing in vicious, terrible, disgusting drugs into our country, getting rich off of it while our kids are overdosing and dying. And the guy's going to do 6 to 8 months in jail. Well, the mom who's, you know, smoking weed in Georgia is going to go to prison for maybe 10 years and lose her kids forever.
It's a double standard for these people at the top. They don't play by the same rules we do. Now we get into Bill's. This leads us into Bill's sex affairs, which really there's too much to even pull. To be honest with you, I spent probably 6-8 hours pulling all this information. It would take me days to pull all the information that's on these people. They got so much dirt. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So reportedly, he had an affair with Mrs. Arkansas. All right. But that wasn't the first. There was plenty others, including Paula Jones, which we'll get into. And there was actually a testimony on record from a state trooper who stated that they drove and guarded Bill during his sexual encounters. They made sure that he didn't get in trouble. They told Hillary lies, and they just made sure that everything was covered up. Bill was well taken care of.
Wow.
And offered her a federal job.
Yeah, let's listen in.
Or break your legs, whichever one was the best.
Sally Perdue, former Miss Arkansas and radio talk show host, carried on a sexual relationship with Governor Clinton between August and December 1983. State troopers in government vehicles were used at taxpayer expense to shuttle Clinton back and forth to Sally's home.
Yeah, taxpayers Perdue, will pay for his sex
escapades. Today supervises a home for people with Down syndrome, was offered a $60,000 a year federal job to keep quiet. She refused.
And you see, that's illegal. You can't offer a federal job to get someone to hush.
Following her attempt to go public, Ms. Perdue lost her job and started receiving threatening phone calls and letters. Live ammunition was found on the seat of her car, and the rear window of her vehicle was shot out. Wow. Even though a number of witnesses have corroborated her story, the American press has refused to print it. During the 1992 presidential campaign, interviews with ABC and NBC, as well as an appearance on the Sally Jesse Raphael Show, were taped, but were never aired.
She'd actually been on the Sally Jesse Raphael Show right after the New York primary. Did you know the TV stations around the country blacked out that program and wouldn't show it?
Crazy. Crazy. So again, he offered her a job. She didn't take it. And then things had to get nasty after that.
In December 1993, former bodyguards of Bill Clinton came forward with detailed information regarding the governor's sexual encounters with a number of women. Larry Patterson and Roger Perry, both veteran Arkansas troopers, boldly spoke on the record. Two other troopers who initially spoke off the record were later identified as Danny Ferguson and Ronnie Anderson. In April 1994, a fifth trooper, L.D. Brown, came.
That's L.D. Brown, who talked about how Clinton told him to go with Barry Seal, go pick up the cocaine. There he is.
He was employed by the governor. The trooper's official duties included approaching women to obtain their phone numbers for Clinton, driving him to
Hey, baby, you're pretty sweet looking. The governor wants your number.
Sexual encounters, securing hotel rooms, and lying to Hillary about his whereabouts. Phone logs and other corroborating evidence fully back these reports.
I saw on several occasions Bill Clinton engaging in sexual acts while I was either blocking the road or working security at the governor's mansion. I saw them with my own eyes take place. So it's not a rumor, it is firsthand.
The entire conversation inside a vehicle in a two-hour drive to from one point to another would be totally about sex and women or jokes. He would actually ask people how they performed oral sex on women in cars. I've been in that conversation. He would ask if you had ever had two or three women
talk
at one time in one bed. Things like this. Bill Clinton was obsessed with that.
The first or second time that you're with him and you're alone and you see some attractive woman, he would say, "Hey, Larry, what would you like to do to her?"
Hey, Larry, what would you like to do to that woman? Tell me exactly.
What a perv. Jason, would you ever say that to your friend? Like, yo, Justin, see that girl there? What would you do to her? Tell me, what would you do?
Oh, yeah, I want all the details, baby. Amazing, amazing. I hear the music coming in, folks. We got to take a quick break to get a word from our sponsors, but stay tuned. We've got more sex, murder, cocaine, and the Clinton Foundation.
After watching two of my close family members be diagnosed with cancer, go through excruciating chemo treatments, and both die a painful, tragic death, I knew something had to be wrong with the medical industry. I wanted to know why they got sick, and I wanted to know why they had to die. I was afraid my mom or dad would be the next ones to die. I saw them suffering already with symptoms like chronic fatigue, inflammation, brain fog, pain, and sudden weight gain. I wanted to protect my family members, but I didn't have any medical training. That's when my best friend introduced me to a naturopathic doctor who shared with us the secrets of remineralizing the body. He taught us a new holistic health approach called functional medicine. Functional medicine is a science-based approach to target the root cause of disease in the body. I learned that all disease starts from within, and that symptoms like fatigue, feeling stressed, depression, weight gain, brain fog, and mental exhaustion were all signs from your body telling you something's very wrong. When we give our bodies the right nutrients it needs, it can heal naturally. That's when I knew nutrition was the key. I started devoting my life to researching and testing a healthy diet mixed with the best supplements on the market, including vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. The challenge was 99% of the products I bought was trash. It didn't work. I later found out that most supplement companies use chemical or synthetic forms which aren't absorbed by the body, making them useless or even harmful. And that's why I created BioAura Nutraceuticals. We teamed up with scientists to provide patented, advanced formulas that actually work. We offer superior pharmaceutical-grade, all-natural, non-GMO nutraceuticals, all tested and proven for maximum efficiency and absorption. After creating BioWarrior, we can now heal our families and prevent ourselves from being another big pharma victim. And I want you to have the same vitality and energy and cognitive thinking in your life. And that's why I want to offer you a free bottle of our patented, Tesla-activated Nascent Iodine Energy Warrior. It's our best-selling supplement, and I want you to have it absolutely free. I'll pay for the bottle, you pay for the shipping. This is a limited-time offer, only while supplies last, so claim your bottle right now. Go to www.biowarriornutrition.com or just click the button below to claim your free bottle today.
We left off with Bill Clinton's sexcapades.
Yeah, he was. His little buddy was saying, "Oh, we'd be in the car with Bill, and Bill would look at the window and go, 'Yo, What would you like to do to that girl right there? That is so creepy.
The guy was like totally just a horn dog. I mean, every thinking moment, he was just like, just ready to jump on a woman. Listen in to Paula Jones' story.
On May 8th, 1991, Paula Jones, a state employee with the Arkansas Industrial Development Commission, was working the registration desk for the governor's quality management conference at the Excelsior Hotel. Governor Bill Clinton was to be the main speaker.
I was approached by one of Bill Clinton's bodyguards named Danny Ferguson, and I was given a number, and I asked him what it was. I held out my hand, and he said, it's a number to a hotel room that the governor would like to meet with me. Well, I was surprised, and I kind of talked it over with my coworker, and we didn't have any reason to believe that we couldn't trust him, so I agreed to go on up to the room and meet with Mr. Bill Clinton. I got to the room, and Governor Clinton, he opened the door to meet me. It was a room that did not have any beds in it. It had couches and stuff like that. It was more like a meeting type room. And he had asked me about my job and how I liked it and who my boss was. And I told him, and he mentioned that he liked the way that my curves were on my body. And he liked the way that my hair went down my back. The middle of my back. And then he tried to lean over and he tried to put his hand up my leg, which it happened so fast. And he tried to kiss me on the neck. It happened so fast, but he tried to bend over and kiss me on the neck as he was putting his hand up my leg. And I backed off. I said, I don't want to do this. And I said, I think I need to be going. And then he got up before I even knew it and dropped his pants, and Bill Clinton asked me to perform oral sex on him, which I declined, and I jumped up, and I told him I need to go immediately.
Well, what's wrong with that? The governor just asking the secretary at the front desk there, hey, come up to my room. Hey, I like the way your hair hangs. I like the way them curves look. By the way, blow me.
That's like a serial rapist. This is the first time I've ever heard her testimony, and I just got the chills, because for any man to think that he can do that, you've got to be a psychopath.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is super power hungry, just like the whole Clinton family. It's amazing. Of course, next was Jennifer Flowers. I mean, I could not include all the women that had charges against Bill Clinton. There's just too much information, and it's astonishing to me how these people are still in charge of our country. It's like amazing. Or Hillary, at least in the talks of running again for president,
right? And Bill would be her right hand man.
Listen to this next one from Kathleen Wiley, who talks about President Bill Clinton at the time.
In November 1993, Kathleen Willey was leaving the Oval Office from a private meeting with President Clinton when she ran into her friend, Linda Tripp. Willey told Tripp that Clinton kissed her and fondled her. Tripp described Willey as disheveled. Her face was red, her lipstick was off, and she was flustered. On March 10, 1998, Willey appeared before a federal grand jury to testify about the encounter she had had with the president. After the president denied her allegations, she appeared on a television interview on March 15th, 1998.
He touched my breast with his hand, and I was just startled. I was, and then he said in my ear, he said, I've wanted to do this ever since I laid eyes on you.
So romantic.
And I remember...
What a lover boy.
I remember saying to him, aren't you afraid that somebody's going to walk in here?
Baby, do you know who I am?
He said, no, I'm not. And then...
She's terrified.
And then he took my hand and he put it...
Well, wait till you see what happens.
On his genitals.
Let me see what happens afterwards.
And that's when I pushed away from him and decided it was time to get out of there.
In her book, Target, Kathleen Willey wrote, quote, had he the opportunity, the time, and the privacy,
I believe Clinton would have raped me that day, just as I believe he raped Juanita Broderick, unquote. A few hours after she was assaulted in the Oval Office, Kathleen Woolley's husband, Ed, was found in a wooded area, dead of a gunshot wound to the head.
Oh my God, that is so sad.
So, not only did she get sexually abused, hours later, her husband was found dead.
That is tragic. That is so sad.
That's amazing.
What is her connection to Bill? She was working in the White House and he called her into the Oval Office?
The story was that she was like friends with him and then she really wanted to get a job. So she went to Bill and was like, hey, you know, I could really use a job right now. And of course, Bill's like, come on in, sit down. I've been waiting for this moment my whole life, baby.
My God, what a freak. That poor lady. I couldn't imagine, Jason, if something like that happened to you and me where, you know, we work somewhere in politics and I need a job and I go ask my friend for a favor and he's like, either I get to rape you or you get nothing and then I find you dead. That is so tragic.
Amazing. And we're not even going to get into Monica Lewinsky. I mean, that was all in the media. We know that was true. He lied about it and said that, you know, he didn't have any sexual relation with that woman. But the fact of the matter is he did. Later came out he was lying. And yet we want his wife to be considered for the president of the United States. You got to be kidding me.
I'm really shocked that the country forgave him so quick, because it wasn't like he just had an affair on some young, you know, intern. He was a serial rapist. And they, right. And this one story of the Monica Lewinsky thing finally came up, and then Hillary was like, oh, I stand by my husband's side. Like, you know, he made a mistake. He's a serial rapist.
But in actuality, we'll get into it, but Hillary knew that he was cheating and she didn't really care. If you look into her face, you look into her eyes, she just wants power. We're going to get into what people have to say about her that were close with her, especially the security staff. But this woman is not somebody we want running for president or president. She is very evil.
There's also stories that Hillary was having affairs on Bill as well. So together they were a political power couple, both right. Living their separate, you know, sex lives, no big deal. As long as they still had the power together, then, you know, Bill, you go rape whoever you want. I'll go rape whoever I want. And then we'll still rule the country.
It's just like the Illuminati does it, right? I mean, look at the people in Hollywood. They have, you know, supposedly we're married for the cameras, but in real actuality, they probably live in separate homes, live separate lives, and have separate sexual partners. All right. So now we're going to get into Hillary. Hillary was actually Bill's handler as well, making sure that, you know, he would keep his nose clean and keep him out of trouble. Of course, she wanted to be there for him when he cheated on her and show what a strong woman she is and ultimately what a great candidate she'd be for president.
That's the bottom line. She'd be a great candidate for presidency. I'm so strong. My husband cheated on me and I just forgive him. And that's why I'm a good, that's why I'll be a good president.
Well, Bill also had a best friend named Bill, named Vince Foster. Okay. Which reportedly, was involved with Hillary as well sexually. He reportedly committed suicide, and this was during the Whitewater investigation. Right. So again, criminal activity from these people out in the open. Hours after Vince's death, right, after he committed suicide, the White House started shredding Whitewater documents connecting the Clintons to the McDougals in the Whitewater Development Corporation. That was a big scandal during the 90s. All right. So let's listen in.
Hillary's mastery of the black arts of attack politics is often skillfully cloaked in layers of deniability. But when she needs money, as all candidates do, her imprudence bewilders even her most loyal supporters. The pattern is a familiar one. Huge amounts of money are raised from political insiders, lobbyists, and special interest groups, and questions follow. In the summer of 2007, Hillary was forced to return nearly $900,000 from fundraiser Norman Hsu, who is now under indictment for running a Ponzi scheme. During the White House years, it was the dirty money of a cast of characters that included Johnny Chung and Charlie Tree, both convicted of illegal campaign fundraising.
I think it was Johnny Chung that said the White House was like a subway turnstile. You put the money in and you got in.
And if his tokens were very large, of course,
There's evidence that he collected money from a Chinese intelligence officer, and they were trying to influence our elections to gain access to decision-making powers in the United States.
So everyone's talking about during the election was Trump was connected with Russia. They're still talking about it, but they can't prove anything. It's a bunch of false allegations as far as we know. But Hillary was directly receiving money from China, right? And what is happening today? China basically controls all of our industry, right? So she basically took all of these bribes in order to transfer all our technology and everything over to China, give them our industry, and bankrupt our country while she makes millions.
And some of the leading social media companies like Facebook are being ran in China now. So it's not under American United States law. It's under Chinese law.
The Clinton Foundation received donations over $500 million from 2009 to 2012, according to a report by the IRS, from seven foreign governments, including China.
That is a lot of money.
She's a treasonous. You know what? And she sold us out.
$500 million in just 3 years from seven.
And this was all funneled through the Clinton Foundation, which is under investigation now, right? They're laundering the money. They set up these foundations so that they can get these donations, right? And then, of course, funnel the money into their bank accounts, overseas, drugs, whatever it may be. They're getting paid. They get richer while we get dead.
Jason, oh, that's old news. Did you see my joke?
But Lauren, it's okay because 15% of that $500 million reportedly went to charity.
Oh, she's just so generous.
They do have a heart, I tell you. All right, in this next clip, we're actually going to listen to Ben Carson. And again, this is so, so key because these are people who are literally talking with her. They're in the room with her. These are people who know her closely. And we're going to talk about right now in this next clip that Ben Carson actually calls her a
Why
devil.
So heavy-handed trying to tie Hillary Clinton to Lucifer?
Well, first of all, recognize that this is a very famous book, Rules for Radicals. And on the dedication page, you acknowledge Lucifer in an admirable way.
Right.
Saying that he's the original radical who gained his own kingdom.
Right.
And then if you read the book, I don't know if you've ever read it.
Right. What I did was I read the studies of the book just to figure out where you were going with this. But please continue.
But please read the book because it's very interesting how it uses controlled anarchy in order to change us from a democratic republic to a socialist society.
Right.
And I don't think that those things are consistent with the principles and the basis of this nation.
I don't either.
Mm-mm. We cannot let America become a socialist country. That would be the end of America. That'd be the end of our freedom.
And
what
does Hillary want? She wants to get rid of the guns, right? She wants to get rid of the free speech, the hate speech. I mean, this is just insane.
Right. Censoring our free speech, taking away our guns, forced vaccinations. She's total psychopath.
Okay, guys. So the next footage we're going to get into is Larry Nichols, who was actually hired by Bill Clinton as the marketing director in 1988 for the Arkansas Development Finance Authority. That's interesting. You see, these people actually have marketers. They actually have people that promote them to the public so that they have this image of just greatness when in actuality, they're actually criminals. They have to have marketing directors to cover up all their lies and all their criminal activities.
If you have $500 million in donations, you can afford some, you know.
A little PR work.
Exactly.
I know about once a month, Hillary would go out to Los Angeles. And she did it so regular that it became a bit of an issue trying to, why is she always going? Bill told me that she was going out there, she and a group of women, and she would be a part of a witch's church. And, when Bill told me that, you could have hit me with a baseball bat. I tried to point out to him. He realized what had happened if that got out.
See, this is a guy that they hire to make sure this stuff doesn't get out. And yet they openly discuss it like it's no big deal. These criminals, it's crazy.
And she's been recently tied to the spirit cooking with the Podestas and the WikiLeaks, where they're literally drinking body fluids and other nasty things. So this isn't like, oh, she was part of a witch's church back in the 80s. She's still actively doing the witchcraft type stuff to this day.
Come on, people. Open your eyes. Okay, so here's someone who knew her best. This is former Secret Service agent Gary J. Byrne, who actually wrote a book on the subject. He stated Hillary was just an angry man-hater, just devil-infused. He told stories about how the Secret Service men would actually have to like jump in the closets when they heard her coming because she just hated eye contact and she would just explode on you if you were to say hi or even look at her in the eyes. Listen in.
Some of what you saw your years as a Secret Service agent with Hillary Clinton in your book that's chronicled in your book, Crisis of Character. First off, you open up talking about Bush 41.
Yes.
And you pretty much echo what many people say, solid class, and you expected to see the same thing in the transition to the Clintons. But yes. Who were the Clintons? How was it different?
So when I first started working, protecting the Clintons, actually,
did he say pure
they
trash?
Were running for office. And we heard all these rumors from Arkansas. And
Rumors?
Rumors about the president affairs and about the state police that protected him being forced to help him facilitate these things.
Trooper Gate?
Yeah, that cocaine, kind of thing. And we also heard these stories about their behavior with each other.
Volcanic,
dangerous. And actually, I talked to this sheriff down there one time, and we were joking. I was
Hillary
joking
with
him. I said, there's no
Bill.
Way this guy could ever get elected. And he looked me like he was looking right through me, and he said, let me tell you something, Gary. Believe everything you hear, and they will get elected.
Wow.
And they'll stay there for 8 years. He said, it is unbelievable. He said they can spin manure into gold. That's the term.
Gary, the first chapter is called The Vase.
Yes.
What's the vase story?
So I came to work one morning as a Secret Service Uniform Division officer. And before I went to my post, I went over to see a buddy in the ground floor of the White House. And he had said there had been a huge fight. The first family of Mr. and Mrs. Clinton had a huge fight upstairs. And I know this sounds like silly, like you were eavesdropping, but you have to put yourself in that position. The White House is huge, it's old,
you know,
the sound travels right down the stairwells and the elevator shafts. So anyway, he said during the fight there was a crash, and when it was investigated they found a blue vase. Now, and this has been reported before as a lamp, but that's not true. I saw the vase, because after he told me the story, knowing how the White House worked, I walked right down to the curator's office, which was a couple doors down, opened the door and looked in, and there I saw a crushed, you know, broken blue vase in a cardboard box.
In the archives room.
In the curator's office, yes, ma'am.
So then when you saw the president...
Yeah, so later on, the next time I saw the president over at the Oval Office, when he came in, he had a mark under his eye. It was a black eye, but you could see they were trying to conceal it with makeup. And I said to his assistant, Nancy,
yeah,
Hammer,
roughing him up
what's
again.
That mark under the president's eye?
Right.
And they said, Nancy said, oh, he's allergic to coffee. And I said, under one eye? And so as Nancy walked into her little part of the office and I started to walk out, I turned to Betty Carey and I said, you know, I'm allergic to the back of somebody's hand.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I was just trying to spark a reaction to figure out, well, you know, what was going on.
Yeah, they weren't going to spill the beans. But Gary, given the fact you describe, it has been described there, the
so
relationship between Hillary and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, no, Hillary.
Very
Hillary
loud.
Hit,
at some point, you had conversations with other Secret Service agents.
Babe, if you were cheating
about
on me every week,
what
I think
do we
I'd
do? We're here to
too.
Protect the President of the United
That's
States.
True.
What
That's
happens
true.
If his wife
right.
is the troublemaker?
Right. That was a topic of discussion. It kind of started out one day. In particular, I remember as like we were joking about it, and then all of a sudden the agent I was talking with is like, what would we do? I go, well, you got to protect the president. I mean, if she walks in when he's doing something he shouldn't be, and you know, you got to protect the president, you got to protect her, and whoever the poor person is that's there, they're kind of on their own.
So
you know?
The scenario was if she walked in on the president with
innocent
one of
bystander
the women,
Secret Service
right,
agents,
right? It was a concern,
right?
And then when you take what I experienced and what other people experienced about her dangerous, angry behavior and put that together,
that is insane.
You know, it's the recipe for domestic violence.
She hated to see
you
guys.
She did
not
like
to jump into a closet to stay out of her eyesight.
Well, we were supposed to. I would tell you that I never did.
To protect the president.
It got me in a couple jams once in a while, like on the road. Yes, there
what
was
a
this,
woman.
This
she stood by him
they didn't
the whole
want, she
time
didn't want to see people.
And for political gain and power.
Here's an example. Check out this quote from
there
your book. She
no
said, once threw a Bible at an agent
there's
on her detail,
no
hitting him in the back of the head.
She would just divorce him and get her cash.
To her detail was a form of punishment
she
handed
once
down
threw
by
a Bible
passive,
at an agent
aggressive
on her detail,
middle management.
Hitting him in the back of the head.
Mrs. Clinton expected everyone to just disappear. She didn't want to see anyone in the White House halls. If the whole place were the personal executive mansion, it was insulting. She hated uniforms.
You were giving up your life or could be potentially giving up your life to protect her.
Right. My experience with them is they don't like the military and they don't like law.
Yeah. They're giving up their lives and she's just treating these people like pure trash.
She treats the common America as trash. If it's not going to serve her, then it's trash. Even a Secret Service agent who would literally block a bullet from hitting her is just trash. Oh my gosh. You got the spirit cooking stuff. You didn't tell me you had the spirit cooking
I
stuff.
Do. So obviously the Clinton Foundation is under investigation right now for what appears to be money laundering, taking bribes, etc. Right? We already know that in 2009 to 2012, they received donations of over $500 million from seven foreign governments, including China, where all our jobs have gone to, all our domestic product is coming from. We don't create anything here anymore. And it's all because of the Clintons.
Wait, there are some things that are still made in America, and it's BioWarrior Nutraceuticals are
That's
made
right,
in America.
Baby. That's
Wait, there
right.
are still some things made in the USA, quality stuff. But most things are made in China, and our common workers are being left to apply for welfare or food stamps, which still isn't enough to feed the families.
Right. And unfortunately, because the product is made in China, it's usually cheap or toxic. And not good for our families. So again, that hurts us in every which way possible.
And don't forget that China is a communist country that treats their people like slaves. They get paid pennies on what they're actually worth. And they're putting Muslims in concentration camps, Buddhists and Christians in concentration camps right now.
So here's another interesting fact about Hillary is and the Clinton Foundation. They actually gave $10,000 to Marina Abramovich. Marina Abramovich is this spirit cooking artist who uses like organs, blood, and then all types of sexual.
Breast milk, urine.
Sperm. I mean, it's ridiculous. Just take a look at this clip. So artistic. Spin around till you lose consciousness. Try to eat fresh sperm. Dude, what is wrong with these people?
Nice. That's like real blood.
It's like organs. It's like, I think it's like animal. This is supposedly art to them. This is people that Hillary Clinton funds. She just gives $10,000 to, no big deal, the Clinton Foundation, $10,000 to Marina Abramovich. Look at this. With a sharp knife cut deeply into the middle finger of your left hand, eat the pain. And there's like some little child in the corner that looks like he was sacrificed. These people are twisted. This is cult behavior. This is the occult. This is Aleister Crowley. Wake up, people. All right. And of course, that kind of brings us into the whole spirit cooking and Pizzagate, which leads into the pedophilia. Now, there was emails that were leaked by WikiLeaks that actually connected Podesta with this Marina Abramovich and also Hillary Clinton. Tell us a little bit more about Pedogate.
Oh my gosh, Jason. Like a few weeks ago, I went deep down the rabbit hole reading all the WikiLeaks emails. It was insane with the Podesta brothers and the things they were involved with. Even with Barack Obama, where they were paying $60,000 for a hot dog. And I don't have all my notes, but the FBI has codes for these pedophilia sex rings. And like, say a triangle, you know, means little boy, or a flower means little girl. They use all these weird codes like pizza toppings on ordering like their type of little child that they want to basically abuse. The Podesta WikiLeaks talk all in code about, well, we think it's basically for child trafficking and pedophilia type stuff. yeah, it goes back into the whole Pizzagate. And
this is all interconnected with these sex rituals, all this magic that they're doing at the highest level. These people are involved in this type of stuff. I mean, to do these type of crimes, to be this psychotic, I mean, you have to be doing some pretty twisted things.
If you wanted to go down the Pizzagate road, I have tons of information, but obviously we don't have time this time. But it's disgusting, right. And it's all right in front of your eyes. It's clear as day. It's pedophilia. It's sex trafficking. It's the abuse of children. Hillary's involved. The Podestas are involved. Obviously Bill Clinton being married to her, and then even Barack Obama, but that's for another day.
That's for another day, definitely. Not to mention this whole scandal during the election or prior to the election of her deleting all these emails, and then she lied about it. We know that these people are liars. We know that they're involved with drugs, with criminal activities, accepting donations. We need to awake and understand these things so we can get rid of these people once and for all.
The crazy thing is we've been talking about the Clinton Foundation's crimes now for about an hour, and we're just barely scratching the surface because there's so much more stuff.
Yeah,
I think literally if we did a full expose, it'd be at least 5 hours to break down everything.
It's ridiculous, and yet she's pointing fingers at people like Trump when she has this much dirt. Literally, it would take me hours to present all the information. It's insane. It's time to take back our lives, take back our health, and take back our country. So that's it for today, folks. Thanks so much for listening.